Jesus, we praise you and thank you because you are good. You are worthy of our praise in all things. We look at our lives and we just say thank you, Jesus. Even in the struggles and the hard parts of our lives, we say thank you, Jesus, because we know that you have deliverance already established for us. You have all of your good things already established for us, so we praise you. In the midst of the things that we face in our lives today, we say thank you, Jesus. We make the choice to look away from the problems, to look away from the concerns and the worries, and we instead choose to look towards you. And when we look towards you with our eyes on you and your promises, we easily say, thank you, Jesus. We love you and praise you. You be glorified. You be glorified in this time. Be glorified in your word this morning. In your name, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I just feel like there's someone here that is just struggling with something that is just a deep hurt that they're carrying with them today. A deep burden that they're carrying with them. So we just stand together as the body of Christ. And I speak your deliverance in every need that's represented here today. I speak your deliverance. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that each one or anyone that is carrying that trouble, that burden on their hearts, that they feel and they know, they can feel you, Holy Spirit, taking that concern, taking that burden as we just cast it upon you. I thank you and I praise you that in whatever those things are, they're going to be praising you because they're going to see your deliverance. So our tongues, even before we see it done, our tongues can say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, because we know that you're good. I speak your favor, your blessing, your deliverance over every single person that's here in their lives this morning, and we give you the praise and the glory for it. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You guys can be seated. As I've told you guys before, and I mean this sincerely, we're still a small enough body of believers. Those of you that sit in the back, you see a lot of the backs of heads. But you know what? You can still see faces, and you still know faces. Even if you only see one person's face one time, let's be sensitive. Because I guarantee you, as we go through the week, as we go through this coming week, somebody here in this body is going to face something that's going to be a trouble. It's going to be a burden. It's going to be something they have to carry. Someone's going to be facing that. But Jesus loves us so much, and he's made us a body so that we can stand together with each other. And so I'm serious when I say, if you get a picture of someone's face in your minds this week, if the Holy Spirit just brings Donna's face or Ruth's face or Tony's face to your minds, whoever, even if it's a face you can't put a name to, the Holy Spirit is showing you that face. Just lift them up and pray for them. Let the Holy Spirit show you how to pray for them. Because this is how we stand as the body of Christ. This is how we stand for one another. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
All right, thank you. Okay, so my plan was to continue on with the message I've been talking about for the last 2 weeks about avoiding strife and about not taking offenses. But I thought that strife and offenses on Mother's Day, strife and offenses might not be the best topic to talk about. So, could be offensive, yes. So, I still have more that I want to talk about that, and maybe we'll come back to that, because I still had more I wanted to share with you on that. And hopefully, as you went through the week last week, I know Donna, multiple times I'd be talking to Donna, and she could just hear by the tone of my voice what I was saying, and she said, and did you take offense at that? Yes, I guess I chose to take the offense, but I'm going to let it go now. So, hopefully that was a good word for all of us, and maybe we'll pick it up again at another time. But what I want to talk about today, I want to share about a subject that is inspired, at least in part, by mothers. Now, this is not a message for mothers and to mothers, but it's inspired in part by mothers, and you'll see what I mean in just a second. When you think about the words that we would use to describe motherhood, there's a lot of words that would come to our mind. There's a lot of words that are going to be expressed poetically in cards that have already been exchanged or will be exchanged today. But I want to focus on one particular quality of motherhood very specifically. One specific quality that's not going to be honored or memorialized or glorified in Hallmark cards at all this week. I want to talk about this because mothers have hearts of servants. Mothers have servants' hearts. My mom was a servant. I mean, even as a kid, I didn't realize how much, but looking back, I can see my mom served us. She put us first in all things. Mothers demonstrate the hearts of servants to us. And that's what I want to talk about, is having servants' hearts. Again, this is not a message tailored to or exclusively to mothers, because all of us, each one of us, can benefit by developing our hearts of service. Hearts of service to Jesus Christ, and as a result, hearts of service to one another. Because whether you realize it or not, to a large degree, success in life comes from serving. It comes from being a servant. It comes from a servant's heart. When we were in Israel, we stood on Mount Carmel. Mount Carmel is one of the most dramatic sights in all of Israel. And before Elijah had that showdown with all those false prophets, before he had that showdown, he challenged all of the nation of Israel, because all of Israel was gathered there to watch. And he challenged them with this. We read this in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 21. And Elijah came to all the people, and he said, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." But the people answered him not a word. The question that Elijah is asking the Israelites is basically a question of, how long will you be of two minds? They were trying to live with one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of God. But they had to make a choice. They would either serve God or they would serve Baal. They would either serve God or they would serve the world. Now the people surprisingly responded to Elijah by answering him not a word. They were not ready to commit either way on serving God or serving the world, serving Baal. And in all honesty, we still struggle with this indecision ourselves, oftentimes in our lives, because we want the things of the world and the comfort that those things bring to us, but we also want to honor, we want to glorify Jesus Christ with our lives. So we struggle in the same area. But sitting on the fence, you will never, never be fulfilled. Sitting on the fence, you will never find contentment of any kind. Success will always be elusive to you. If we're of two minds, you will always find success elusive. Or if you do find success, you're going to find it disappointingly temporary. We are called to make the choice and to stand for one or the other. We're either all in for God, we're either all in for Jesus Christ, or we're not. And if we live our lives all in for Jesus, if we live our lives all in, then as a result, we will develop hearts, hearts of service to Jesus, and thus hearts of service to one another, because that is His heart. It's the heart of Jesus inside of each one of us. You know, I don't think Tom's not here this morning. Tom Duncan and I were talking this week, and we were just talking about, you know, Tom was telling me about some of the things he's choosing to do just to serve, because he's got the time now. And as he was talking about just these two different ways that he's found that he can serve, he's not getting paid for it at all. It's just what he wants to do because he wants to give himself to others. And as Tom was talking about this, the light and the glow of joy on his face was astounding. Because this is the heart of Jesus. You know, the most common verse we all know, every single person, if you've been saved more than 10 minutes, you probably know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. That's the heart of God. And so that's the heart of Christ in us. When we give of ourselves, when we serve others, that's where we find fulfillment. That's when we find contentment. We've got to be all in for Jesus. All in everything that we do in our lives. Let me take you to another example from another Old Testament chapter. In 2 Chronicles, Hezekiah is the king of Judah. Now, Hezekiah has led the people of Judah out of idolatry. He's led them back to the Lord. He has cleansed out the temple. He's restored temple worship for the people, and he's reinstituted the Passover. In fact, he continues to make reforms to serve the Lord, and he makes reforms for the purposes of leading others to serve the Lord. Now, read this in 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verse 21. We were just in 1 Kings. Go past 2 Kings. 1 Chronicles is right there. And then 2 Chronicles is what we're looking at. 2 Chronicles 31, 21. And in every work that he began, in every work that Hezekiah did, in every work that he began, in the service of the house of God, to the law and to the commandment, to seek his God, he did it with all of his heart. So he prospered. Can you see the connection there between service and prospering? King Hezekiah, he served the Lord in worship. He served the Lord in the Word. He served the Lord by giving his whole heart, all of his heart, to the Lord. Hezekiah was all in to God. And as a result of Hezekiah being all in to God, the result of that was he served God above everything else. Here's the principle. Because Hezekiah served God with all of his heart, because he served with all of his heart, God prospered him. Service, a heart of serving, leads to success. Service leads to success. We struggle in so many areas of our lives, and we wonder, how can I find success in my career? How can I find success in my marriage? How do I find success in my parenting or in any other part of our lives? How do I find success? Where is success? Where does it come from? Success comes from the Lord. It comes from him. And when we give our hearts, when we make the decision to live our lives all in for him, when we give our hearts to him, the result of that is he will prosper us. If you're looking for more success in your life, if you need more success in your life, start looking for more ways to serve. Look for more ways to serve other people. We see the same principle in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 37, verse number 4. Let's read that. Psalm 37, verse 4. I can tell you by life experience, the more that I have served others, the more I found success in life. You know, the very first time that I remember God, I think I've told you this before, the very first time that I remember the Holy Spirit speaking to me, that I heard God's voice clearly speaking to me, I'd only been a Christian for maybe 4 years, and Don and I were down in Florida, and usually when we go on vacation, it's me that sleeps till like 10 or 11 o'clock, but for some reason that morning, it was God. Donna was sleeping in, and I was out on this balcony looking over the Gulf of Mexico, just enjoying the beauty, just praying. And God said to me, these words I've never forgotten, he said, Todd, as you serve others, as you help meet the needs of others, I will meet your needs. I've never forgotten that. And I've always tried to live by that. And when I had needs in my life, when I had needs that I couldn't solve myself, or I did try to solve myself and just couldn't accomplish it, when I had needs in my life, I would try to always find. I try to always serve others. And here's what happens. When you have a heart of service, when you are serving Jesus Christ by serving someone else, what happens is you're so focused on helping them find success in whatever area of life they have, you're so focused on them that all of a sudden you've taken control off of your problems. You're not even looking at your problems. And then when you do turn around and pay attention, all of a sudden you realize while you were not paying attention, while you were serving someone else, Jesus took care of my needs. Success comes from service. So here's Psalm 37, verse number 4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you all the desires of your heart. Now we read that as, if we just are happy in the Lord, he's going to give us everything we want in our lives. Well, there's clearly more to it than that. And when you read the same verse, but you read it in the expanded Bible, listen to the way it reads in the expanded Bible. Same verse, Psalm 37, verse 4. Enjoy serving the Lord, and he will give you what you want. the requests of your heart. If your joy is in Jesus, if you are all in for Jesus, then serving just comes naturally to you. If you're all in for Jesus, it comes naturally because serving becomes your nature because it's His nature. It's His nature in you. And so when I serve Jesus and I do it joyously, I'm going to find that success follows me. When I serve Him, His success always follows me. That's a great truth. But you know what? We realize something more from that verse. We realize there's more than just success for me. Here's the real truth, and this is what's awesome. When we serve the Lord and we do it joyously, in serving Him, the result of that is we effectively change the culture around us. When you serve Jesus just by the mere act, it's not by what you do, it's the mere act of serving. Sometimes you don't even realize what it is that you're doing that is affecting the change because it's Him through you. But He uses us when we serve. If we have a heart to serve, you will effectively change the culture around you. I don't know about you, but this past week, I've been sick to my stomach at some of the things that I see in our culture. I mean, some of the simple things that we see. I told Donna just the other day, I'm holding a standard to the world can never live up to. But some of the things that I see and some of the things that should be innocence, and I see it's not innocence. It just breaks my heart. And you look at the culture and you think, what can we ever do to change the culture? It's impossible. It's not impossible. All we have to do is just change the culture around us. I've said that before. If we change the culture around us, then exponentially the culture changes. Because if I change the culture around me, if I lead one person to Jesus Christ and I disciple them and I grow them, and then that person leads someone to Christ and disciples them and grows them, then you have two, then you have four, then you have eight. You have no idea how quickly and how exponentially those numbers grow. You want to change the culture? You don't have to change the United States. Just change the culture around you. And I know when I say that, sometimes that's like putting a lot of pressure on you. It's not. There's no pressure on you at all. All you have to do is just have a heart of serving Jesus. Be all in for Jesus. Have your joy in Him. Serving then becomes a byproduct of that because it's His nature in you. You serve Him, and you're going to impact. You're going to change the culture around you. This changes the entire culture. It changes the culture that's around us. Your serving Him changes the culture. Now, look at the verses that come right after Psalm 37, verse number 4. The verse that tells us to joyously serve Him. Look at the next two verses, verses 5 and 6. Psalm 37, verses 5 and 6. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, as your justice as the noonday. The word commit that we see there at the very beginning of verse number 5, that word means to entrust. So this is a determination to entrust your ways to Him. It is a dedicated service to Jesus Christ that results in His righteousness shining through you as a light at noonday. That's a bright light. Entrust your path. Entrust your daily conduct. Entrust your service to Him, and He will shine through you. Service, because it's His nature. It's His nature that's in you. Service. And make no mistake about it, it's His light. It's His righteousness. It is His justice that is shining through. Make no mistake about it. It is His righteousness. It does say, and it's important, it does say your righteousness and your justice. But make no mistake, it is His righteousness and His justice that is shining through you. Because as you entrust your service to Him, as you entrust yourself to serve Jesus Christ, His nature of righteousness and His nature of justice becomes your nature. Again, the pressure's not on you and I. All we have to do is just be all in for Jesus. Have our joy in Jesus, unlike what's going on in that room. have joy in Jesus in all the things that we do. This is what we're called to do. This is who we are. So what does that mean? His righteousness shining through us. Well, it means two things. The first thing that it means is righteousness. Righteousness speaks to us. It speaks to us about right relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ. Right relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ. Look, one of the results of you serving Jesus Christ, one of the results is you impact the culture around you. One of the results of your serving Jesus Christ is the hearts of the people around you are prepared to receive Jesus Christ. Just by your serving Jesus, just by your willingness to serve, just by you being present and serving, the hearts of the people are prepared to change through the light of Jesus Christ, through Jesus' righteousness through you. Again, it's not pressure on you. You just have to be willing to serve and be present. It's His righteousness. It's His justice that shines through us. The second thing is, it's His justice. His justice through us. His justice. Now again, this is the justice of Jesus Christ. It's His justice, but it's His justice through us. Justice here means or indicates judgment. It is a judgment not like the judgment that you think of, judgment that's the form of judgment on the day of judgment. It's not that kind of a judgment. It's a judgment that is a judgment that is rendered. It's a legal decision that's made. It is a judgment of what is right versus what is wrong. So just by you serving Jesus, just by serving Him, you impact the culture. Because it's His righteousness shining through you. You impact the culture. You judge by your presence and His righteousness through you. You judge what is righteousness and what is evil just by His presence in you. It is His righteousness through us, and His righteousness through us brings forth. It brings judgment. It exposes. It brings His light to the blindness of the world, the blindness of the world that calls good evil and evil good. This is just a matter of us serving Him and being present, and He takes care of the rest. So you are like a beacon of light. You're like a beacon of righteousness. You are like Jesus' beacon of righteousness shining as the light at noonday. Why noonday? Well, think about it. Noonday is when the sun is at its highest point in the sky. At noonday, noonday is when the sun is at its brightest point in the day. Those who thrive on evil, those who are opposed to the things of Jesus Christ, those who are opposed to the things of God, they shun the light. They strive for the darkness. When the light is at its highest point, the light, when it is brightest in the world, when the light is brightest, that's when all things are exposed. Everything is exposed. When we are serving Jesus Christ, His righteousness shines through us, and His light exposes all of those things. His light is what shines through us. That's noonday. But there's something else about noonday. There's something else specific about it. Noonday, I think I missed a point. Okay, so here's the other thing about it. So noonday, because it's the place where the sun is at its highest point, it affects our shadows. When the sun is at the highest point, it affects our shadows. Think about this. At the early portion of the day and in the late point of the day, the sun is low on the horizon. When the sun's low on the horizon, you cast a really long shadow, right? But shadow gets shorter as the sun gets higher. The higher the sun is, the shorter that our shadow gets. So the shadow affects us. The sun affects us. It affects our shadow. When the sun is at its peak, when it's at its highest point in the sky, the sun is directly above you. It is shining straight down upon you. When the sun is at its peak, you cast almost no shadow at all. And what shadow you do cast is directly beneath you. So look at it this way. Think of it as a line. It's a line that goes from the sun to you to your shadow on the earth. Now, shadows are fascinating things. Are you guys ready for a little bit of science? A little bit of science to show us or illustrate a biblical principle? We've had some history recently. We haven't had science in a while. For mothers who are here, who are teachers, this is an homage to you who are teachers. This is a little bit of education from the discipline of science. So let's talk about shadows. All shadows have two parts to them. Every shadow has two parts. This is true physically, and it's true spiritually as well. Now, biblically, shadows, they are symbolic of a place of refuge. They're symbolic of a shelter. They're symbolic of a place of safety in God. This is what we think of with Psalm 91, under the shadow of the Almighty. But shadows also biblically, as we're going to see in just a few minutes, shadows also biblically represent the power of God through us. The power of God. So there's two parts to the shadow. And biblically, two parts. There is the safety, and there's the power of God. So remember that because we're going to come back to it. But right now, let's look at shadows in the natural world. Tony, if I can have that first diagram. So in the natural world, all shadows have two parts. There's two parts. The first part, this is a good illustration, because... So there's two parts to all shadow. A physical shadow has... This is the shadow. Here's the sun. Here's the earth or something. Here's the moon or something else. So this is the shadow. This part right here, this inner part, shadows have two parts. This is the umbra. This is the penumbra. You guys heard of umbra and penumbra? Anybody heard that before? Yay! I knew there'd be a couple people. Okay, so two parts, umbra and penumbra. This part right here, this is the umbra. This is the innermost part of the shadow. It is the darkest part of the shadow. Light is totally blocked in this region of the shadow. That is the umbra. Now, here is the penumbra. The penumbra is the part of the shadow where light actually comes through. So think about this. In the penumbra, light comes through. Light affects. In the penumbra, light affects the darkness. That sounds kind of important, doesn't it? We can apply that in just a few moments. So that is the umbra and the penumbra, the two parts of the shadow, the two parts of the shadow that apply to us. So the shadows in the Bible, the shadows that are mentioned in the Bible, they also have a spiritual umbra and a spiritual penumbra as well. Biblically, the umbra, this part right here, the darkest part, biblically, the umbra is that place of refuge. It's that place of protection. It's that place of shelter in God. Biblically, the penumbra, this is the place. This is the place where the light shines through. This is the place where the light of Jesus Christ himself diffuses out and affects the darkness. What is that talking about? That's talking about the power of Jesus Christ through us. It's the power of Jesus through you and I. Only Jesus can bring light through darkness. Only he's the one that can bring light through. And it's amazing to me that the natural world shows us a biblical principle of light, even light through darkness. That's Jesus Christ. So let's take a look at the example of spiritual umbra or protection. This is Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 91, 1 and 2. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. That is the spiritual umbra of his shadow. Now, here's the spiritual penumbra of his shadow. This is the power of Jesus Christ. This is Acts chapter 5, verse number 15. So that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. This is the power that comes through the shadow. This is the penumbra of the shadow. So you can clearly see there's two parts to the shadow of God, right? Umbra and penumbra. We can see those two parts clearly. But what does that have to do with us serving Jesus Christ? Well, remember when we looked at Psalm 37, verse number 6, remember that it was very specific where the light came from. The light came from a specific source. Let's go back to Psalm 37, verse number 6. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. His noonday light shines through you. The noonday light of Jesus Christ shines through you. This is the umbra and the penumbra. He shines through you. It is His righteousness and it's His justice. But it's His righteousness and His justice that shines through you. This is Jesus working through you. You and I have to be a part of this equation. This is about Jesus. This is about us serving Jesus. This is what it looks like. This is us serving Jesus. Now, I want to show you another diagram, a little bit more science. It's the same thing with the umbra and the penumbra. But what I'm going to show you, this is what a shadow looks like during an eclipse. Because if we look at this shadow during an eclipse, it'll help us get a better understanding of our role in this, our role in the shadow. So this right here, this is the sunlight. The sunlight, that's Jesus. This is the earth. The earth represents the people of the world that we influence in our lives. You are the opaque body that's in between them. I know. I knew Ed was going to laugh at that because that's fitting to us. How fitting is it that we, sometimes we are so dense, we are those opaque bodies, but He still shines His light through us. So this is us. This is the opaque body, the opaque body. So Jesus shines His light. He shines His light through us. We are the city on a hill, the light that cannot be hid. But in this light of Jesus that shines through the opaque body of us, through this light that shines, we impact and we have an effect on the world. We affect the world itself. It's His light shining through us. And His light shining through us has two results. And you can see the two results right here. Because we have, here's one result, it's the umbra. Here's the other result, it's the penumbra. He has two results of shining through us. Here's the first result. The first result is that we are the shade. We are the shelter. We are the umbra, the spiritual umbra of His shadow. This is the place. It's here in that spiritual umbra. Here is where the lies and the deceptions of the world are blocked out. It's here that the people find their hope in Jesus Christ through you. It's here that people find their safety and their shelter in the Word of God through you. You serving Jesus become the spiritual umbra of His shadow. But we are also the penumbra. Remember, the penumbra is the part, and leave this up if you would, Tony. The penumbra is the part of the shadow that lets the light shine through. This is the light of Jesus shining through and shining through us. It's the light of Jesus coming through us. Now, we as Christians, we should invite these people in. I wonder if he's realizing that there's... We are the penumbra. And remember, the penumbra is the part of the shadow that lets the light come in. Jesus shining His light through you makes you. You are His penumbra. Now, we as Christians, we don't have beams of His light emanating from us. We don't radiate like the sun. Why is that? Because we live in this flesh, these opaque bodies. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus still shines His light through us. He still shines His light through us, through the penumbra of us. And it still affects the world around us. How? By His power that is at work through us. I want you to look at that one more time, because in this diagram, I want you to notice that the penumbra, the area of the penumbra, is a whole lot larger than the area of the umbra. This tells us that His light dominates the shadow, just as His light dominates the natural world through you, through me. So let's look once again. Let's look again at that example of the power of God through Peter and through his shadow. But I want to add one more verse to it. This is Acts chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. And they brought the sick out on the streets, and they laid them in beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing before them might fall on some of them. This is the power of Jesus Christ through Peter. This is the power of Jesus Christ through His servant Peter's shadow. We think of shadows, and to us, shadows mean absence of light. There is no darkness in Jesus Christ, and the light of Jesus flows through and works through shadows. When we serve Jesus Christ, His power flows through the penumbra that is you and that is me. This is the power. This is what happens when we serve Him. Even though we are opaque bodies, His light still comes through. This is why I said earlier, if we just give ourselves in service to Him, all you have to do is serve. Just be present and serve. He does the rest. It is His righteousness through us. It's the light of His power through the penumbra of you and I. It's the light that comes through the darkness. Now, we looked earlier and we saw that Hezekiah showed us that as Hezekiah served the Lord, God prospered him. There is success that comes from serving. We also saw today that there is power that comes. It's His power at work through us when we serve His power. Now, next week, what I'm going to do is pick this up and I want to look more at the success that comes from serving. But because this is Mother's Day and because we are talking about service, I wanted to take the opportunity to do communion and share communion with you today. Because I want you to see and I want you to think about the power that comes through you. Jesus served us. Jesus sacrificed for us. Think about this. We all understand and know that the cup represents the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus shed for us. So that by His sacrifice, as we accept His sacrifice, we have right relationship again with the Father through the blood of Jesus Christ. But I want you to think about the bread. I've talked about the bread a lot before, but think about this. Because every time in the Bible, when you see bread being broken, you always see it followed by some miraculous, supernatural, powerful act of God that takes place. And as we're talking about service and serving Him and the power of Jesus Christ through us as we serve, I want you to think about that. I mean, here's just a few examples. You can look this up yourself. Look and see some other examples, but just a few examples. When Melchizedek, the king of Salem, came to Abraham, he brought bread, and they broke bread. They shared bread together, he and Abraham. Immediately following that is when God said to Abraham, here's my promise, your descendants, look up, Abraham, your descendants will be as many as the stars in the sky. Later on in the book of Genesis, you see again Abraham, and God meets with Abraham. And he meets him under the terebinth tree. And then three men appear there. And Abraham goes to Sarah and says, quickly, make some bread. And they broke bread with those three men. And it's just after that that God made the promise that you will have a son. Even in their old age, you would have a son. My promise is going to be fulfilled. In the story of Joseph and his brothers, here Joseph is sold into slavery by his brothers. But he raises up and he becomes powerful in Egypt. Only Pharaoh is more powerful than him. And yet his brothers return to him, not knowing that it's Joseph. And Joseph breaks bread with his brothers out of a heart of forgiveness. He breaks bread. Something powerful happens right after that. The whole heritage of Abraham continues because Jacob is brought. The people of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, continue because Jacob is brought. And the people live out of the famine in the comfort and in the fullness of Egypt. When the giant is threatening the Israelites, and they're getting ready, standing on either side of that mountain, getting ready. They're not doing anything, but they're getting ready. But what does Jesse do? Jesse sends his son David, and he sends with his son David bread and cheese. And he says, take this bread to your brothers. And what happens? At the breaking of bread, you see the supernatural. You see the powerful take place as Goliath is defeated by David. Jesus broke bread with his disciples on the very night that he was betrayed. You can see it again and again and again. When bread is broken, something powerful happens. Look, we take communion all the time, but I want us to have a level of expectation when we take communion. When we break bread together, it's more than just symbolic. It's more than just doing it in remembrance. We should have an expectation that powerful things are going to follow as we do. Amen? So, we're going to break bread today. So on that night that Jesus was betrayed, he thanked the Lord, broke the bread, and praised God. Jesus, we praise you and we thank you for what you've done. We thank you for your sacrifice for us. We do not take it for granted. We praise you for that relationship that we have and the right standing. And we thank you that we are now heirs with you in all the things that are yours, joint heirs with you. We have an expectation as we remember you and we glorify you in this moment, but we also have the expectation of you doing powerful things through our lives as we serve you. Because as we serve you, you move powerfully through us. We are your spiritual umbra and your spiritual penumbra. Move greatly in our lives and in the lives of those around us. And I believe as we partake today, I believe for healing, I believe for deliverance, I believe for all of your blessings to come forth in each one of us as we partake together with that expectation. You be glorified, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's do this. Let's all just get up, serve yourselves, go back to your seats, and then wait, and we'll all partake together.